This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's up, Norm?
My nipples. It's freezing out there.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Shea up the left side to the baseline on McDaniels. Floats it up, counts if it goes, and it goes!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Could you sense some of the frustration with some of the calls that Shea was able to draw?
Yeah, there was a lot of frustration out there.
Earlier on the show, senior NBA writer for The Athletic, Sam Amick, comedian Andrew Santino. Coming up, three-time Super Bowl champion Mark Schlereth. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We've had a fun first 2 hours. If you missed any of it, don't worry. The show re-airs on the Roku channel. It also it gets sliced up, as everyone who sees this show in part on our YouTube channel tells me they enjoy seeing it there. And we greatly appreciate those pushing us towards 1 million subscribers of our YouTube channel. We appreciate that. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show. There's our podcast version as well through the Cumulus Podcast Network. We encourage everybody to do that. We led the show with the news that the Tush Push was not banned by the amount of membership necessary. That means to get this rule changed, it had to have 3/4 of the league voting for it. They wound up 2 votes shy. 24 needed, 22 said ban it. The 10 teams that voted against the ban, the Eagles, Ravens, Browns, Lions, Jaguars, Dolphins, Patriots, Saints, Jets, Titans. If two of them had switched their votes, it would have been out. Instead, it stays in the game. To talk about it is our friend Mark Schlereth, multiple Super Bowl champ from Fox Sports, three-time champ to be exact, joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, sir? Good to see you, Mark.
It's always good to be with you, Rich. I am doing great. Thank you so much for asking.
All right. So your viewpoint of the news that it came close, but no cigar for those wanted the Tush Push out. It stays in the game. Your thoughts, Mark?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. You know, obviously, if you don't have a quarterback that you're comfortable doing that with, if you're Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City, if you're, you know, if you're one of those quarterbacks that you don't feel like, you know, a Joe Burrow type of guy, and you're one of those teams, you certainly don't want to have to defend it, one. And part of the reason you don't want to have to defend it, obviously, you don't want to run it as an offensive staple of yours. So, interestingly enough, like I have said this many, many times, they banned that pushing a defensive player, actually a special teams rule. So you can't push a defensive player on the special teams unit on PAT field goal and on punt pro. And so my thought process, if it's unsafe there, then isn't it unsafe everywhere? And why do we not have equity in the rule? Like, there is no equity. And people say, well, they're pushing on a quarterback. Are they? Because even in this picture that you're showing right now, you've got a guy behind the tight end, or excuse me, a tight end behind the quarterback. You got another, I think, wide receiver behind the or a running back or whatever it is. Yep. So, like, you're pushing the butts of offensive linemen as you're creating leverage in this play. And so, to me, it's exactly the same as the rule that you made illegal on the special teams side of things that's okay on the offensive side of things. So the lack of congruent nature in the rulemakers to me is the biggest issue I have. When I hear people say, well, it's not a football play. Yeah, it is. It's a great football play. Smash mouth, right? It is like control line of scrimmage. That to me is the difference between winning and losing in the National Football League. So I think it's a football play and I find it entertaining. And, you know, I'm always looking at it like, how are they going to stop this? You know, what are they going to do to stop? Like I look at it as an analyst, so I don't have any issue with it. The only issue I have is with the league. If it's good for the goose, then it should be good for the gander. And the lack of continuity is the only thing that bothers me.
Well, the only thing, another lack of continuity I was, hearing about from those who are listening to the behind-the-scenes chatter of the debate that went down over whether to ban it or not, is the offense gets forward progress, the defense does not. So if you stop them, the pushing can continue, and the pushing when it continues, 99 out of 100 times benefits the offense as opposed to the defense, and that's an issue. But the player safety aspect of it, what do you think? Is it a more dangerous play for linemen because there is all that pushing going on, Mark, than it would be than a regular sneak play? Is it more dangerous?
No, I don't think it's any more dangerous, Rich. I really don't. I do think, and this is probably a good thing, a change the league has made over the years from a player safety standpoint is, I can think back to, even my career, and you go back beyond my career. This play would have become inconsequential because Frontier Justice would have taken care of it. Somebody got hurt. So there was a time in the NFL where we'd have just injured somebody and they said, okay, now we move on. So nobody's going to run anymore. So I am glad that the league and the way the players think has changed to a degree from that standpoint. I don't think it's any more dangerous than any other play. Playing football is inherently dangerous, and there's 100% likelihood that if you play this game, you're going to get hurt. It's just really virtually impossible to stop. And the other thing on the defensive side of the ball is if you lined up and, you lined up and pushed mano a mano, like you got behind all defensive linemen and pushed them into the offensive line, into the quarterback, like – why don't teams do that? Well, then if we just run a fake, like there's nobody in the back end to stop the passing game. So, it truly is a play which is completely leans into the benefit of the offense and really puts the defense is in an impossible position. And usually, like if that rule was the other way around, if the defense had a unbelievable advantage and put the offense in an impossible position, the rule will be changed because this is a league that predicates itself on creating offense. And so if the shoe were on the other foot, it would have been voted out 100%. So, it's just one of those things that life ain't fair, get used to it. And, we will always err on this in this league on the side of benefiting the offense.
And I'd love to find out from the 10 teams that voted to keep it, voting against this ban, what their reasoning is. Obviously, we know what the Eagles' reasoning would be. You pointed out if you've got the quarterback for it, you'd want to keep keep this in the playbook. I mean, I'm looking at some other, like the Dolphins. That's not their reasoning. That's for damn sure. Here are the Saints. You would think.
All the coaches came from Philadelphia, right, with the Saints.
That said, I don't see Shane Steichen's Colts on here with Anthony Richardson, right? Who would be big enough. You do see Cam Ward's Titans. I don't know. You see maybe the Jets and Lions and Ravens. They're just like teams that are just say, screw it. We're not gonna vote to ban something just because it can't be stopped. I'm wondering if that's the general through line here, is that they didn't buy the it's not a football play, it's a pace of play issue, it's also something that could be dangerous. They didn't buy it. I don't think they that was it.
I tell you the other thing is, like, I think you could look at it and say, well, wait a minute now. like we've got a big enough or thick enough offensive line. We got a couple of burly tight ends. We got a running back, or we've got a wide receiver who was a quarterback in, you know, in college. Let's put him back there, and we're built in a similar way to Philadelphia. Let's put our own version in here. And so I think you get some teams that look at it that way, like, wait a minute, man, we can benefit from this as well. Yeah. And I'll tell you the other thing. If you're physically built that way, like if you are a smash mouth, let's control line scrimmage, like a Baltimore Ravens football team.
Lions.
Why would you, like the Lions, like and the many as many trick plays as Dan Campbell and the Lions run, like, of course you're looking at that like, man, it's innovative. I love it. Let's do it. And let's create, like, we'll take Jared Goff off and we'll have Amon-Ra St. Brown run it, right? That dude's a freak show. Or one of our running backs run it.
LaPorta, LaPorta.
I look at all that stuff and think that the teams that love that kind of smash mouth, let's control line of scrimmage, let's run the football, let's do these things, all those teams look at that and go, hey, man, I want to play where I know on third down and one, we're doing something. And to me, there's a toughness. You know, I always talk about running the football, Rich, in this league. Mm-hmm. And running the football, to me, is not so much about what you average per carry or how many yards you have at the end of the day. It is in critical crunch time situations when the defense knows you're going to run it, when you know you're going to run it. Can you get 2 or 3 yards in those situations? Can you convert a third down and two? Can you convert a third down and one? Can you run the ball in the red zone? You know, and I'm always fascinated by coordinators who say, well, listen, you know, they're playing us in an 8-man front. You've heard this a million times before. Playing us in an 8-man front, we were going to bang our heads against the wall. You know, we've got one-on-one access to the outside. Mm-hmm. Well, you know where you never have one-on-one access to the outside? Is in the red zone, because everything – or you always have access, but in the red zone, everything's an 8 or 9-man front. You know what I'm saying? Because the safeties are now playing with their heels at 8 yards. So everything's an 8-man front. So teams wonder why they struggle in the red zone. They struggle in the red zone because they don't know the first thing about actually running the football, and they're not truly committed to it. So it's your ability to basically dictate terms in critical moments, second down and 4-, third down and 4-, can we still convert first downs in the running game? And that, to me, is really the truth about running the football. And teams that fancy themselves tough, fancy themselves built that way, they're going to vote for keeping this play in.
Mark Schlereth here on the Rich Eisen Show. Before I let you go, what'd you make of the news that the Caleb Williams last year was hesitant to join the Bears, eventually did, and let it be known that he wasn't told what film to watch. He was not giving any indication by the coaching staff how to watch film and what to look at. Mark, what'd you make of that?
That's shocking. It's, you know, if it's 100% true, it's malfeasance of coaching. And not only that, but it's the way the Bears built their football team. Like, they kept Bajent, you know, who's also a young player. Why is there not a veteran quarterback in that quarterback room teaching the young guys how to study it, how to look at it, right? Stop in the film and go, okay, what do you see here? Well, what's the indicator? You know, why is this safety going to rotate down? Why, you know, like the why questions as a young player are so important. And it's not just the coaching staff, but it's the veteran players on your football team, how your football team is constructed. You know, I walk into a facility every Friday before I call a game on Sunday. And there are facilities I walk into and I walk out of thinking, Rich, to myself, you know, they think they're studying. They think they're preparing. They think they're working hard. They truly don't know the first thing about it. And it's why they stink. Right. And so, like, there are teams you walk into and you watch that practice, you watch the sharpness of it, you watch the attention to detail of it, you see the players, you know, locked in, and you're like, well, this team, there's a reason this team is really good. And I think those are the things that you consistently see in the NFL. And if that's what the franchise is doing in regards to Caleb Williams, well, I'm shocked that the kid, he had 20 touchdowns versus six interceptions. I know he took 68 sacks. That's part of understanding, hey, where am I protected? Where am I not protected? When do I have to throw hot? How can I change the protection? Mm. How do I work in unison with my offensive line? All those things become vastly important. And all those things can be studied on film to give yourself that advantage. And if nobody's walking you through that as a young player, I am shocked. It's like, it is amazing that you put up the stats you put up at 66% or whatever it was. And like I said, 20 versus six, that's phenomenal for Caleb Williams. If that was what was actually going on in Chicago.
And I'm also not to give a whiff of a hint of it at a podium microphone. Not even once did he make it seem like, guys, you have no idea what's going on around here. You know, like, you know what I mean? Like, not once did he twitch in that direction. And that, that might have been the most impressive thing about his season when you look back on it through this lens, Mark. You know,
when I look back, like, I think about now my commentary, because 68 sacks, like, it's so frustrating. And yeah, they're not good, and that's part of that is play calling. A lot of it's play calling, but sacks to me are more a quarterback stat and an offensive coordinator stat than they are an O-line stat. So it's just kind of the way the league is structured. Everything is three-step, five-step, no hitch, you know, get the ball off and all those things. So your quarterback has to really be in control of a lot of that stuff. And he's got to have that timing and ability to execute and throw the ball on time and get it out and be accurate and all those things. But now that I look back on it and go, if that was the case and nobody is walking you through, like when I played for the Redskins, man, and the Hogs, my first start was against Philadelphia, the Eagles in Philadelphia, number one defense in football with Reggie White and Clyde Simmons and, you know, and Jerome Brown and Mike Pitts. And, you know, I mean, it was a who's who of defensive players in the league. And not only every morning did we go through film together as a group with our coach, but every afternoon, it was one day it was Bostic's turn. The next day it was Russ Grimm's turn. The next day it was Joe Jacoby's turn. Like, they all took individual turns with me, and we went through film. Okay, today we're watching first and 10. Today we're watching, you know, blitz pickup, third down and long, and all these situational things. And then, you know, they're quizzing me in there. Hey, what do you see here? Why are we going to get pinched? Oh, the weak side linebacker walked to the edge. It means these two guys are pirate stunting. You know, understand, if they do this, you're getting that inside pinch stunt. So make sure you take that away from the inside out. You know, just things like that. You're like, oh, you learn how to watch the game. You learn how to understand what they're doing. Hey, this defense, anytime they get in this under front, man, they're bringing blitz strong or they're bringing blitz weak, whatever it is, like whatever their tendency is. And I sat down with each of those guys, members of the Hogs, that obviously were big time players and such respected players, and understood, and they coached me through the nuance of what that Eagles defense did. And, you know, went out there and opened a can of whoop ass and got a game ball, Rich. So, but it was, a lot of it was because of the work they did on my behalf to help me have success. And that's what good teams do. Obviously, Chicago hasn't been good in quite some time. And so I'm really excited for Caleb Williams, and Ben Johnson's, you know, just a really good coach, a really good designer of plays and great play caller. So looking forward to seeing what Chicago looks like with Ben Johnson at the helm.
How lucky for you to have those guys when you first started off like that, Mark, no question about it. So my follow-up on all of this, and the question is asked with nothing but respect. Were you scared of Reggie White? Was he scary? Were you scared of him?
Rich, I was scared of everybody.
Come on.
I was scared to death. I'll tell you a great story if we got a second.
Sure.
So I'm sitting on the bus, and I'm a 10th rounder out of the University of Idaho, and I am scared to death. I truly am. And, like, I don't know if I belong. I really don't. I mean, but I'm getting my first start in Philadelphia. And Doug Williams walks on the bus, and he walks by me. And I can feel him over my shoulder stop. And, you know, I'm listening to my headphones, right? Mm-hmm. And he backs up, taps me on the shoulder, took my headphones off. And he said, he's our starting quarterback. He says to me, the only difference between you and them is they got an opportunity to make a name for themselves. And they took advantage of it. And he goes, today is your opportunity. You will take advantage of this. I have nothing but the utmost faith in you. Mm-hmm. And I walked onto that field to saying to myself, hey, I might not be good enough and I can live with that, but it's not going to be from a lack of study, a lack of effort, or whatever. And like I said, I opened a can of whoop ass and got in a fight in that game, as a matter of fact, because I was like, listen, there's one thing that's not going to happen. You are not going to punk me. I promise you, you're not going to punk me.
Against those Eagles? Who'd you fight? Who did you fight?
I fought Mike Pitts took a swing at me and I tried to break his jaw. and got flagged and everything else. Oh. And it's funny, after the game on Monday, I ended up getting a game ball, and Joe Bugle, God rest his soul, my first offensive line coach in the league.
Legend.
Joe walks up to me and he says, "Hey, listen, we don't fight, right? We don't fight. We don't take 15 yard penalties. We don't fight." He goes, "But great job." He was proud. Like, he was a beaming father, man. He was like a father. He's like, "Man, you played your ass off. That was an ass whooping, you know." And it was really cool. But again, like I said, like there was one rule I had for myself, is I'm not getting punked. You are not going to punk me. I don't care that I'm a 10th rounder at Idaho. I ain't getting punked. I don't care who it is. So, yeah, that was my kind of welcome to the NFL moment.
Unbelievable for Doug Williams to do that. Words, man, from somebody like him. It's so powerful. I love stories like that, Mark. Thanks for the time. Let's do this more often. Let's do this again real soon, brother. Appreciate
you. You got it, Rich.
Great
stuff.
Take care.
Hey, congratulations, too, by the way, man.
Thank you.
I see a lot of great success coming your way. You deserve every ounce of it.
Thank you, Mark Schlereth. You're a good man for saying
that.
Appreciate it. That's Mark Schlereth, everybody. Follow him at Mark Schlereth. Great stuff.
Wow.
Hey, I asked that with the ultimate respect. Were you scared of Reggie Wood? One of my favorite stories Marshall Faulk tells, we'll get him to tell it here again when next time he's here. First time he was the old Rich Stadium, taking on the Buffalo Bills. Mm-hmm. And he said Marshall was never scared of anyone, never scared of anybody. But he goes, he said it was one of the old turf,
crown.
And it was kind of the crown, right? And the heat's coming off the turf.
Oh, yeah.
And Bruce Smith comes out of the tunnel all, as he said, greased up on his arms. And you could see him barely above the crown, and the steam's coming off. And he's just like,
I'm in trouble.
Yeah. I got to have Marshall tell that story next time he's here. He's just like, Bruce Smith comes out. He's like, oh, no.
I understand.
You think?
Yeah. But to have Reggie and Jerome Brown out there, man, that would be a little afraid.
Bad team, man.
And he got into a fight.
A bad man.
But Doug Williams comes up to him on the bus.
That's got to mean so much,
don't you
right?
think?
Your starting QB.
But did he already win a Super Bowl?
Yes.
Is he already MVP of the Super Bowl?
Because that was 87, right? When they won the Super Bowl.
Great question.
And Mark, I think 89 was Mark, I think.
Yeah, Mark's rookie year was 89.
Okay, so he's already a Super Bowl winner, right? An MVP, and he's the one tapping him on the shoulder saying, "It's your day."
Well, and Doug needed to, right? Because the last thing you want is your lineman believing in himself with Jerome Brown and Reggie White. Like, you are the man.
That was,
but at least he could say, "Hey, Russ, you take Reggie." 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. When we come back, I just love hanging out with you guys, especially when the Yankees have a better record than the Mets. No. That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show. In the NFL, there's zero margin for error. As we all know, one single mistake can change the outcome of a game, a season, livelihoods, my goodness. As the official sleep and wellness partner of the National Football League, Sleep Number knows all of that and makes it their mission to provide players with data and insights to optimize their sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. And thus, you get a Sleep Number bed, you get the same exact thing. I feel it all the time. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. It's just 10 numbers apart, but it does make the world of difference because you can adjust your bed's firmness on your side differently than the other. And after working out for recovery, it's game-changing. That's just one of the things that makes a Sleep Number bed so awesome. It's why 95% of Rams players have a Sleep Number smart bed. 80% of Kansas City Chiefs players have a Sleep Number smart bed. 80% of NFL players have a Sleep Number smart bed. You should too. Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed? So you can use your ideal comfort on either side. And now it's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, limited time. Exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. See store or sleepnumber.com for details. It's kind of difficult to describe to people who are unfamiliar with it, as you might have been.
Patrick Mahomes?
I have, yeah.
Have you?
Yes, I have met Patrick Mahomes.
He's one of my heroes.
Oh, is that right?
That's true.
Oh. Okay.
I root for that team, even though I've never lived there.
Yes.
I think he is just phenomenal to watch.
Apropos of...
Nothing.
I was going to talk about the season finale of Barry. And
yes.
And you were talking about the season finale of two Super Bowls ago.
And I was hoping Patrick was in it.
Next time you come on,
yes.
We'll make sure Mahomes is on the phone. We'll do that.
Truly?
You like him that much, huh?
I think that his ability is such a cut above. He is so passionate in the way he plays.
Yes.
He is so... improvisorial in the way he plays. He is so sure. I just think it is instinctually great, actually.
Okay. Well, he now knows that, and we will make sure that we'll make this happen.
Yeah.
It would be my
honor. Does he listen?
Yes.
Patrick, hi.
He does.
How are you?
These things...
So can I just say, no, if Patrick is listening, I'd like to, you know, we make a great chicken stuffed with ricotta and spinach.
Yes.
With an unbelievable reduction. It can be yours if you're here in L.A.
Well, the Chiefs come play the Chargers, right? The Chiefs
they
play
do.
The Chargers.
They do, actually.
We'll make this happen.
Those guys are good, too.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, they're good quarterbacks.
Yeah, they are.
They are not Mahomes.
That is correct.
Oh, my God. One of my favorite interviews in the history of the show.
Do you know Patrick Mahomes?
Henry Winkler. And then the fact that we then hooked him up. Kelsey's wearing, like, what, football family Fonzie shirts? I mean, it's as Howard, as Henry would say, and I would say, a mitzvah. A mitzvah. It's okay. Listen, if you had told me when I was sitting here railing on Juan Soto, for calling New York a Mets town. Because it wasn't just the money that he took from the Yankees and it was a mercenary move.
Mercenary.
Obviously it left me burned.
It did.
I loved watching Juan Soto with the Yankees. Him and Judge, I had visions of the two of them basically going into the Hall of Fame together.
You know what I mean? Just on
honestly. I was talking about it with Michael Kay actually in the middle of last season. Is there an equivalent? What are the equivalents in the Yankee lineup in their history of having Soto and Judge hitting back to back? You know, and we went back to, remember when Don Mattingly, it might even been before you would remember, Chris, because I am older than you. This just in.
That's true.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler.
And I'm younger than TJ, so you would remember this.
Fantastic.
When Mattingly and Dave Winfield were battling for the batting title. They were hitting next to each other in the Yankee lineup. Like, honestly. So, yes, him leaving left a mark. But then when he's like, it's a Mets town, it's like, okay, buddy. Like,
what are we doing?
Just say it's the money at this point in time. Just say it's the money.
It might not have been the money.
Okay, no, because it was a Mets town. That's the thing that just infuriated me and set me off. If you had told me that by the time May 21st would roll around.
Here it comes.
7 weeks of the season, almost 2 months of the season would roll around. And Ben Rice would have better numbers than Juan Soto. And I say that only because Ben is a young buck.
Would you believe that the Mets would have more wins than the Yankees, though? Would that be because
maybe I would have believed or hoped that they would have more losses than the Yankees, which they currently do. And the Yankees have a better winning percentage than the Mets, as you and I are talking right now. And part of that is because they lost 2 of 3 to the Yanks and then have a broom situation going down in Fenway Park today. Chris, who's got the broom out right now for the New York Metropolitans?
Got the broom out. Aroldis Chapman, back-to-back saves.
Yeah, Chapman's making saves
one
for the
run
Red Sox.
In two games
he
for the
throws
Mets.
150. What do you expect?
He throws very fast.
You know what I mean?
He throws very fast.
Ben Rice hitting 259, 10 home runs, 22 runs batted in.
Hit his 10th last night, right?
Yeah, he did. He does. And by the way, he's playing multiple positions. He's catching for the Yankees in mop-up time. And has no problem switching positions, unlike certain $300 million contracted players in Boston.
He's coming at both of us, Chris.
Everybody's like, catching some right now.
He wants all the smoke.
Devers is like, I'm a third baseman. I will not DH until I will DH. But play first base because we need to, because our young stud blew out his knee. I will not do that. I need the owner to fly out and make sure I'm not going to have a problem.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. It's all in right now, baby. I'm looking up.
He's fourth in Major League Baseball in RBIs.
I'm looking up. I was told to look up and find the red side.
Oh, there they are.
It's not going great. Not going great at the moment.
Okay.
500 team.
Oh,
I get it.
I'm loving it right now.
Four and a half games.
Could be better.
I'm still loving it.
You're a Metropolitan.
And when they go, listen, Juan Soto, the Fenway Park, it's something he's used to playing in and being booed at. Okay. When you hit one towards the fen to the Green Monster, it might not go out because it's a very tall wall.
Yeah,
it's very tall. It's how tall is it?
Yeah, like 37 feet.
It's pretty, very tall. It's pretty tall.
Yeah.
Well, he put one off the wall and he got a single out of it.
And then he stole second.
His manager said he was going to talk to Juan Soto about this sort of thing. You got to hustle out of the box. We're going to have a conversation about it. Well, they had a conversation about it, and apparently, you know, the manager came out of it with a better sense of what's up with Juan Soto.
Yeah, I'm not going to make excuses for him here, but I've seen that play here in this ballpark plenty of time, you know, where a guy hits a ball off the monster and they think they got it and they don't get to second base, you know. Like, I'm not going to make, it's just, how can we continue to help him? How can we continue to teach you, coach you? And that's what we'll do. And that's what I'll do as a manager. You know,
teachable,
that's my responsibility.
Moments.
That's my job. And, he'll be fine.
Teachable moments.
He'll be fine.
Oh, okay.
He'll be fine.
They had a talk and he found out, not to make any excuses. Well, I mean, again, 247, 8 home runs and 20 runs batted in. And every single time something doesn't go Soto-like, he's hearing about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it is a New York town.
Sure.
Yeah.
Juan Slomo. Not Soto. Slomo is apparently what the Post referred to him in this whole situation.
Pretty funny.
Juan Slomo. Okay. Funny. And so even in a Mets town, you should get a break on those sorts of things. Certainly when the Mets are doing so well, you know, and he's got Alonso kicking ass.
I think that he is.
And I got to tell you, when I was at Yankee Stadium, and I watched the Mets win the game when I was in Yankee Stadium this past weekend.
Appreciate you.
Lindor, Soto, Alonso is
pretty good.
It is scary. It's not pretty good. It's scary.
Pretty good.
It is scary as a 1-2-3 as there is in Major League Baseball.
Well, it's not really scary because Soto hasn't hit his stride yet. Great. Let's pile on him right now.
No,
and I get it.
The reason why he isn't,
we all know he's gonna pick. It's not like he forgot how to play baseball or hit a ball.
No, he's in a new situation. That's what his manager
said.
That's
true. Hold on a minute.
Roll tape. Roll tape. This is what the manager says.
I can't wait till July.
He doesn't have a comfort level yet.
I think he's comfortable, but again, everything is new, you know. I will say not only a new team, but just the new contract, expectations, you know, like he's always been in winning teams.
Some time.
Won a World Series, you know, but there's a new territory for him.
Yeah.
And again, that's our job, you know, as an organization to continue to help him. But I do feel like he's in a good place. And look, I think he's about results there too. And I think there's a lot of noise here, but he's going to be fine. He's too good of a player. And like I said, we'll be right there with him.
Yep, you heard Skip.
Why would there be a lot of noise in a Mets town? It's a Mets town. Don't forget.
You're real stuck on that.
Oh, and I will be stuck on that
forever.
That's great.
Hey.
No, stop. I'm telling you, I will never forget that. Because
I don't know how Juan Soto's ever going to live the rest of his life.
Oh, no. He'll live the rest of his life very well.
The fact that
he'll live his life, rest of his life very well. Because, you know, he's honestly tells ESPN to wear a wire, not wearing a wire, not going to do it. Not doing it.
Just remember, he's not on your team because you're too cheap. You didn't want to give him a suite.
Was it worth it?
Maybe not. Right? That there was a ceiling, and what it ended up being, despite me being so upset about it,
greatest thing to happen to the Yankees. Don't have to deal with what's going on with the Mets town side of things. It's he's in a new place called Queens.
Look,
which is so far from the Bronx that there's only a bridge attaching it.
Yep.
So I have this all written down.
Whitestone, right? Is it the Whitestone?
It's performative. I'm having fun.
You need to check this bridge.
It's performative.
Check notes.
Outrage. You see, you got to write it down to make sure he hits all the talking points.
Uh-huh.
Rich is
one Triborough Bridge, baby.
Don't sweat it.
It's so far.
It's so far.
It's so far. Dude, let the New Yorker handle it.
Well, Throng's Neck and the Whitestone.
Yeah, that's right. Throng's Neck, Whitestone.
And Whitestone. There's three.
No.
Get on the mic.
The Whitestone is far more geographically sound than the Triborough. I'm just saying, guys.
Thank you.
Listen, he's got a Throg's Neck situation happening right now. There's a backup. There's a jackknife tractor trailer in his skull right now. And you're right. He'll calm down. He'll realize where he is. He's in a Mets town. It's all good.
He'll be fine. He'll be fine.
It's all good.
I really wish you were here when Mad Dog called in because he had something to say about
what?
Just Yankee fans getting in their feelings.
He said this to Suze?
Yeah. Getting in their feelings about Soto.
What did he say?
Basically that you should calm down. You being the collective Yankee fans about Soto. What? He didn't belong to you to start with.
Okay.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. We got it. Hold on. Let's pull it.
We have it.
Yeah, Mad Dog was so disheveled.
Yeah.
No, I saw that. Suze loves Mad Dog.
Oh, he's Mad Dog loves Suze.
He's a legend.
You know?
Hey, Richie.
Oh, listen. I'm fine. Mad Dog's a Giants fan anyway. Is it that long? I don't care how long it is. I want to hear it. Let's do it.
Oh,
I'm ready to, because you want, this is for him in directions of people like me. Is that what you're saying?
People like you.
If this is going to help your case, let's hear it. Because I have been hammering you.
My case doesn't need help.
I've been hammering you for a good 12 minutes now.
We were 29. We won 21 games at this point last year.
Because the Yankees without Soto said, let's get Bellinger, who, by the way, is on a 15-game hit streak. And his grand slam ended up sealing the Subway Series.
It did.
Okay.
I saw that.
We got Goldschmidt, who's second in the American League in hitting, third in Major League Baseball in hitting.
Very good.
And Max Fried, who's going to be the Cy Young Award winner in the American League right now. I would imagine he's in a town where there is no plaque and signpost for Mo Green, the current favorite.
Let me tell you how
for the Cy Young.
Tariq Skubal is behind Skubal. He's behind.
Let me tell you how worried where I am on the worried meter about any of this.
Okay, where are you?
Oh, hang on.
On a 1 to 10.
Yeah,
on a 1 to 10.
Okay, where are
point
you?
0.0.
Okay.
We ain't worried about nothing.
Was that the Dodger fan in you that hit that button?
No, because you'll play us in the series and you'll lose.
Well, that's fine. If we get to the series, I'll be ecstatic. Are you kidding me?
Wow.
I'll be happy with that.
No, I'm talking about him.
Oh,
gotcha. No, you won't. You guys won't even make it past him.
All right, here we go. So this is, you're saying you had them edit this so I could hear what Russo had to say to Susie about people like me.
You were on a walkabout and you missed this, and I feel like you need to hear it.
Okay.
I think this Soto is a Yankee traitor thing is a bunch of freaking unbelievable nonsense. He was there for 1 year. Every Yankee fan in America who knows anything about Soto knew that re-signing him was not going to be easy. They also knew that Cohen had more money than anybody. And if he went to the Mets, he went to the Mets. This is not Aaron Judge, Joe DiMaggio, Mickey Mantle, who left after 15 years to go somewhere else. This is Soto, who would play on the moon if it was $5 more. That's just the way it is. He's a mercenary. And I don't begrudge him that. But now at the end of the day, maybe he'll be a Met if he goes to the Hall of Fame. But he was on Washington. He was on San Diego. He was on the Yankees. No Yankee fan should be floored that somehow Soto decided to go somewhere else. Plus, Soto is a big reason why the Yankees got by a very bad group of teams, but a big reason why Soto helped them get to the World Series anyway. Game 5, that home run. He had a great postseason. So the idea that the Yankee fan now feels betrayed, that is a bunch of garbage. Throw in the idea that half that building last night's Mets fans. and on Friday night and on Saturday night. So the idea that he was walking into enemy territory, I know that building's, both of them, better than anybody. There was as many Met fans there last night as there were Yankee fans, for crying out loud. Not as many, but you get the idea. So the idea that somehow he was walking into a walking cauldron of hatred, if that was the case, it's stupid because he was there for 1 year, and I don't buy it anyway, for that matter.
Okay, so my response, Rich from Staten Island.
Hey, oh, Rich.
Calling in, longtime listener.
Bing.
Okay, he's absolutely right. Absolutely right. I have no problem with what he has to say. Mm-hmm. I was in that building. There were a ton of Met fans, just like there will be a ton of Yankee fans in Citi Field when they see each other again.
Probably more.
And the results may be different. They may be different. Soto might be hitting 250 by then.
Maybe if we're
okay.
Lucky.
If he gets a couple hits
just
here or
one
there,
or two.
If a couple start falling, if a couple start falling, yeah, it might break in his way where he'll start getting 250. I understand. It's and he's right in the fact that Soto was there for just 1 year.
Yep.
So
and he helped get you the World Series.
And he's right.
You should be happy.
He would play on the moon for $5 more, and the Yankees do not break through to the World Series without him. Those are all right.
Fact.
My problem, like I said,
it's a Mets town.
He called it a Mets town, which is trying to throw dirt in the faces and cover the tracks of him being a guy who would play on the moon for $5 more.
Look, we just all went for $5 more go to the moon.
They didn't want to give me a suite for my family. I thought the Yankees weren't going all in. Everybody wanted me to go to the Mets, so I went to the Mets. But no, it's a Mets town.
Okie
dokie.
To quote the wordsmith Dr. Seuss, don't cry because it's over, smile because it happened.
Did you look that up?
No.
Okay.
He just got that.
I'm a wordsmith myself.
Yeah, he knows lyrics.
Yeah, just be happy. You got to the World Series.
And I will say this. I will not root for Soto in a box. I will not do it with a fox. I will not do it on a train. I will not do it anywhere. And it's not because he left the Yankees. That was part of it. I'm over that because I love the way that it's all working out right now. We are our better team for it.
Sure.
We have better fielders. We're having better hitting. We're having younger players actually take advantage of their opportunities, like somebody who has better stats named Ben Rice. I'm loving the checked notes bits. It's so much fun for me.
I'm glad you're loving it.
It's him saying it's a Mets town.
May 21st.
I thank you.
May 21st.
I thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
You're right.
He's right.
Thank you.
And look at that.
It's a disrespectful picture.
It's not a disrespectful. Is that the real one or that's the fake one? I can't tell.
It's the guy.
Oh, that's the real
one.
That's the real one. That's the real one.
He's looking like that.
And do me a favor. Hold on,
Mike.
Keep this in your mind's eye.
Keep
this in your mind's eye. Can you pop Hoskins? I know you've got a lot going on back there. Can you put the headline back up?
The Post.
Yeah, the New York Post.
Getting plump.
Am I wrong? Am I wrong?
Looked a little punch.
I don't know.
I'm a big guy. I can talk about it.
It could be Juan Bartolo.
Mike, you would kill somebody to be in that shape.
Bartolo, not Soto. Bartolo.
I'm in that shape.
No, you're not. Stop it.
I'm feeling good in my purple shirt to celebrate Roku's first ever Sports Everyone. Suze is here. She's getting ready to do women's sports now.
Because your husband's wilding out.
Not wilding anything. Ladies and gentlemen, Susie Schuster is here again.
Hi, guys.
Back again like you never
left.
Why do you have the Festivus poll?
This is not a Festivus poll.
Why are you dressed like you're going to a Hamptons party?
I know.
She's dressed for women's sports now.
I am.
Southampton?
Is wondering why you always talk about being a lead pipe wielding professional.
Yes.
And so I got you a lead pipe. Here you go.
Now you
Happy Father's
are.
Day.
Yeah, did you have this whole conversation the other day?
Yes,
Well, Sarah, last week when you said it again, Sarah's mom texted me and was what is he talking about? And I'm like, I don't know.
I'm almost sure it's a Pulp Fiction reference.
No, it might be, but it's...
He talks about some hard hitting.
Yeah, there's some other stuff.
There's some other words in there.
No, I know that, but I think somebody was a pipe wielding professional.
So the guys asked me on the show, do you fix a lot of things at home?
Oh, okay. Now I see where this is going. And where it's going is not good for me.
It's great.
Well, it never is.
And I say, you try to. And then Thelma fixes it. It's great.
Excuse me. Yeah. I can fix things at home.
Like what? The clicker. Wow. You're very good at changing the channel for me when I can't figure it out.
Let me put down this lead pipe.
Because you're a professional.
You're a professional. I'm a professional.
Did you? You know what he's really good at? He's really good at what?
Did you go to like a hardware store and get a pipe?
I think that's hysterical.
This is from our.
That's our festive from our
here. Okay.
For the rest of us.
No, did you find it in the back?
No, it's been it's been hiding behind that pole for years.
Yeah.
For like four years now.
Rich is really good at untangling necklaces.
Yes.
Like, that's by the way, hold on, this is too high.
A massive
really
skill.
Good that's at untangling necklaces, skill. Which I can't do. I don't have the patience for it.
That's a skill.
It's too annoying.
By the way, a massive skill, a very important skill.
Yeah, really
one that comes
good.
In very handy
in
for you.
Yeah.
Mm. You know?
That is.
What else can I do? Oh, I don't know. I'm good
what
at
else
stuff.
Can you fix?
I'm good at stuff. I'm smart.
Is that right before you blew up in the boat?
No, that's spoiler alert. You know, they passed over. Excuse me.
You can't have a spoiler alert.
He didn't blow up in the boat. He did not
blow up in the boat.
He didn't blow up in the boat. It didn't.
Which one blew up in the boat?
Which person from this highly successful relationship would you trust for Godfather Part 2 references?
Of course.
Okay,
of course.
So let's be honest.
Who blew up in the boat? Shirt.
Okay, if you want to do something from Notting Hill, that's your one.
Oh, my goodness.
Notting Hill.
I love that.
Oh, my goodness. Notting Hill out.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Susie.
She comes in the bookstore. It's a traveling bookstore. Who goes to a bookstore for travel books anymore?
Nobody.
Nobody.
Okay.
I don't know what Notting Hill is.
No, you've never seen Notting
Hill?
You
are such a dummy. What? It's the greatest movie ever. Not really. Four Weddings and a Funeral is the greatest movie.
Yeah, there you go. Well, while you were sleeping.
The court
out there.
While you were sleeping.
Honestly, the number of movies that at some point when our children stop, you know, busting up what you
ruining
need to
our
do.
Lives,
I
yes.
wouldn't say that, but... Yes.
We almost watched The Godfather, and the boys were like, we can't watch this without Dad.
What number is the list of movies you have to see? Because I've made reference. You're like, I've never seen that. I'm like, put it on the list. What is it?
Rich, we were busy playing sports as kids, so we didn't watch a lot of movies.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
You know, there's so many.
We're
I missed so many.
Boy, we out of time. Wow. Unbelievable. Another episode of What the Football is in your ear gates or in the YouTube page on the Rich Eisen Show. Susie and Amy Trask recorded one yesterday with Mike Florio. And now you're back to record another episode of Women's Sports Now, available on Roku channel at midnight tonight. Good to see you, Suze. Good to have you here.
Thank you, Rich.
What is it? What's happening?
It's good to see you, Suze. I'm like, you saw me this morning.
Besides the car alarm going off?
Being a professional introducing you.
A lead pipe wielding professional.
Wield that pipe.
What is happening?
Rich, I'm so happy to be back in the studio. I've been here so much.
Yeah, I've been here all week. Please tip your waitress.
There was pizza in the fridge for the guys, leftover donuts.
And Vito's was swearing like a sailor?
Oh, my goodness. 2S, 1F. It was fantastic.
I caught two of them.
Mike, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
The third one?
It's not like we're playing Family Feud anymore.
Did you have pizza in one hand and the buttons in the other?
No, because I only caught two of them. The last one.
They came fast and furious.
Yeah,
they really did.
We have a sound man who can only do one thing at once.
Mix.
He disguised his love for me with an F-bomb. So like it was Susie, I effing love you.
Very
and
good.
So that just seems like a Staten Island hello.
Yeah, that was like, exactly.
Very good.
Although he is from New Jersey, not from...
He's from Bayonne. One of the four bridges that connect Staten Island with the world, three to New Jersey. Same number of bridges that connect the Bronx to that outpost known as Queens, where Juan Soto is in a new place.
It's different, man.
Oh, totally.
It's in the house represents.
Oh, my goodness. It's so different.
Boogie Down in Queens.
The Queens accent and Brooklyn accent and Brooklyn accents and Bronx accents and Staten Island accents, they're so far off.
Well, they are a little different.
They are.
No, they're
totally.
Not.
Yeah, they are. Washington Heights accent is far different from a Staten Island
Mr.
accent.
Livingston, New Jersey, piped down over there.
I get New York all the time.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do people think of,
yes, because
do
you sound the same.
Do you?
Okay. Who's on Women's Sports Now?
We have Sabrina Merchant from The Athletic.
Awesome.
We're going to talk in depth about what happened last weekend with Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. We're going to spin ahead to next weekend because we're in the middle. We're in it, Rich.
Yes.
We're excited about it. So we have a lot to cover. We're going to talk about sales. We're going to talk about sponsors coming to the WNBA.
Love it.
But we're also going to go deep into women's college softball.
It seems like which is as popular an event as ESPN puts on every single year. It seems like Caitlin Clark's games go off the rails every time, it seems. Mm-hmm. Like, there's something going on in every single one of her games.
Well, she had a trip dub the first. We know that,
look
right?
At you.
You're like, that's cute, isn't it? She passes Sabrina Ionescu's record in her second game for all-time games played with 25-plus a double in the assist.
Susie Schuster's prepared for... I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off. It's called a hard out.
Yeah.
So, very good.
Susie's a lead pipe wield king.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Very good,
what
Mike.
What was that?
Well done. Mike Del Cifo sticks the landing on this Wednesday show.
Here
to stick the landing, Mike.
I thought it was 5405 was the hard out.
There we go.
Former MLB All-Star Sean Casey, a.k.a. the mayor, keeps hitting it out of the park.
Take my 30 years of experience. Take the wisdom and knowledge I've learned from the failures when I got sent down my rookie year, all the injuries I had to overcome. Your mind is the most important tool you have in life. Be relentless. Keep charging. It matters how you talk to yourself, how you look at the world. That matters. We talk about that. I don't know. I'm fired up. Baseball's back, and it's going to be incredible. I love it.
The Mayor's Office with Sean Casey from Believe.
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.